What's going on, guys? Jacob Brothers here, and this week you're going to notice our episode looks a little bit different, and that's because we are rebranding. We got new colors, we got new graphics, we got new logo, we got some drip. So I just want to shout out Jamal, Taylor, Bridget, and everyone else who worked on this redesign. It looks awesome. We can't wait for you guys to see the new era of CXP. Now on to the video. Hello and welcome to CXP on Campus. I am Jacob Brothers and I am joined by the wonderful Erica Sidora. And Erica, I have one crucial question for you. How was LCS?
It was freaking awesome, Jacob. Thank you so much for asking. I can't wait to talk about it in the preview review.
Ooh, what a tease. And I am doing well as well, but something that's going to be doing even better is CXP on Campus. So this week in the queue, we have Level Next Spring Showcase preview with Ruben. We're going to be talking about the Connecticut Esports Showcase recap. We're going to hit you with the preview review, and then we're going to talk about jet changes with Jack. And also, don't forget, Erica and I are going to be at the Battle for Texas with live coverage coming up on May the 6th. And then the 2 days after that, Erica and I are going to be in Atlanta covering May Madness. So keep an eye out for that content as well, and let's get ready for a great episode of On Campus. Welcome back, gamers. Jacob Brothers still here, and I am joined by Ruben Osterling. You know him, you love him. Ruben, thank you so much for coming on.
Things feel good to be loved.
Doesn't it? And something that we both love is Rocket League. And we're here to talk about the Level Next Spring Showcase presented by, as you would know, Level Next. And so what's the story so far? What do we need to know?
Well, it's awesome. They finished day one. They got the 24-team double elimination bracket going on right now. It's the top 16 teams from the group stage. They're going to begin the upper bracket, so the winner bracket. And then the top 8 teams from the LCQ, they're going to be in the lower bracket, the loser bracket. It's really fun because these matches are usually, best out of 7. And it's awesome because they're a bracket reset opportunity. And they also got all the matches broadcasted. You can check them out through rocketball.gg or the CRL Twitch. So it's really great this time we were able to see all the games going on at the same time. And right now we got the top 3 teams in the upper bracket. We got Northwood Blue, of course, UNLV and UT Arlington. And the top 3 teams in the lower bracket, you got UCF Knights, Mizzou Gold, and University of Florida. And it's great because, tomorrow we got day 2, so it's going to be from 3 p.m. to 6:20 p.m. They got all the games going on, kind of like tightening the brackets. And then the grand finale will be on Thursday. You get the winner's finale at 3 p.m. and the loser's finale at 4:40 p.m. And the main events with the top team from the upper and lower brackets, they're going to be going head-on-head at 5:30 p.m.
Yeah, and so this will be going live on Thursday, so we have to, unfortunately, future cast here a little bit. But yeah, so the current teams of this recording in the winner's bracket, Northwood, as you said, shocker, UNLV, Arlington, and the 3 teams in the losers, UCF Knights, Mizzou Gold, and the University of Florida. So, Northwood, this is not much of a surprise. They do this every tournament. They are always at the top. So my question to you, which I've asked you a million times before, and I got to ask you again, in the winner's bracket alone, are there any teams that could potentially shock or upset this Dynamite team, or are they just going to go straight to the top as we always expect?
To be honest, I'm really going for UT Arlington this time because not only are they, third place overall for this spring case, but what's amazing about them, they're like the few teams that actually break through Northwood's midfield defense. And the crazy thing is when you go back and look at their games, UT Arlington versus Northwood, they're always like neck to neck. So they're like the one team that can actually keep up with Northwood's offense.
Okay, awesome. And then on the other side of the field, let's say Northwood does overcome Arlington and they go to the finals. Are there any teams that they could meet in the finals that could potentially shock them, yet once again, or upset them?
They're a really great team, the UCF Knights. And they're awesome because one of my favorite players is called Bambi, and he's a fantastic drifter. I absolutely love to watch him play. And it was really cool because the UCF Knights, they could have been in the upper brackets. They literally lost like one game. So they're just as good as UT Arlington. And to be honest, when they score at least 3 goals for every game. So they usually have their opponents in the dust. So me, hopefully I see UCF Knights and UT Arlington play. That would be very fun to see.
That would be killer. It would be a shock to see someone not Northwood win a good tournament. But, we always have the comparison point of the CRL. So one thing I've been wondering that I wanted to ask you, because there's the CRL, and then I would say Level Next is the other major organizer of Rocket League on the collegiate level. And they do things slightly different. And so my question to you is, which organizational structure of tournament do you like more? Do you prefer how CRL does it? Do you prefer how Level Next does it? And why is that?
For me, I love how Level Next does it. They're much better with their organization, right? It's so much easier to, like, find their brackets and register information and stuff like that. CRL, there's so many teams. It's a lot. So you can kind of get lost. And then I think what's really cool about Level Next, they also offer that, as I mentioned before, the broadcast. You can see all the broadcasts are all available. You don't have to go to, like, a weird, like, link after link. And what's really cool is they spice up the competitiveness, because they're very merciful when it comes to the rules. Like, when Rocket League tends to do, like, tournaments and stuff, it's very, like, strict and scrutiny. Level Next is just kind of, like, fun, and they kind of leave it up for more teams, kind of giving them more chances to play. So it's really, like, seeing, like, UCF Knights and UT Arlington possibly playing is really exciting and more fun to watch. And I'm like, oh, Northwood. And, you know, Level Next, they just offer more, like, larger cash prizes. So it's kind of, like, more exciting.
Yeah, more chances to get that cash money, long story short.
Get that bag. Yeah.
Perfect. Well, good luck to all the teams that are still in the running. We can't wait to see who wins. Ruben, thank you so much for coming on. And coming up next, we're going to be talking about the Connecticut Esports Showcase right after this. Welcome back, beautiful people. Jacob Brother is still here. Erica Sador is still there. And we are here to talk about the Connecticut Esports Showcase recap. It was an esports event held just by universities in Connecticut. And those universities were Sacred Heart University, University of Connecticut, Fairfield University, Southern Connecticut State University, University of Hartford, and Post University. Say those names really quickly. Erica, what went down?
This was organized by Sacred Heart University, and it took place April 23rd and April 24th. These matches were streamed on the CTE Sports Showcase channel, and there were three round robin style tournaments, and these games that were featured were Overwatch, Rocket League, and Smash Ultimate. The Connecticut colleges competed against each other, as we know, and these teams went kind of hard. For Rocket League, Farfield took the win over University of Connecticut. For Overwatch, University of Connecticut took the win over Sacred Heart University. And for Smash, it went a little differently, because Farfield came back from the loser's bracket, and they went up against the Southern Connecticut State University, and they won. The overall winner was Farfield University, so congratulations, but the second place winner is University of Connecticut. So congratulations to these teams.
Yeah, congratulations, Fairfield. And so, really weird question, but it's the question that's always on my mind when I see stuff like this, because this is awesome. The fact that a state, especially a state like Connecticut, a state that people probably don't think about very much, no offense to Connecticut, I'm sure it's lovely, but like they got all their colleges together and had a tournament in their own state. So what other state, Erica, would you like to see do an event like this? Would it be Nevada, or would it be somewhere different?
I think we're both thinking California, Jacob. Nevada is way too small to be doing that.
So California is like the logical answer, because that's where a lot of the best colleges are. I think, like, logically, California and Michigan, because actually a lot of the best esports schools are also in Michigan, those tournaments would be awesome just because those are already high profile schools. But personally, I was thinking more like a Maine. Like Maine, just because there's probably like three universities there anyways. And like, it's schools people haven't heard of and that probably have esports programs, or like any of the Dakotas. Like, I want to see like states that people probably don't think of very often having their colleges on the main stage. And I think it's just really beneficial to the space, and it would just be only fun. And especially if a school does really well, maybe it gets on other colleges' radars and just continues to grow the space. And hey, Nevada, they could do a cool UNLV and Reno thing. Actually, they really should. It's only two schools. But... but whatever, they already fight over some cannon that they paint red and blue. Why not just do it digitally, you know?
Wolves and the Rebels, what?
but yeah, so Connecticut, great job. Do this more. This is awesome. And you streamed it. God bless you. Great job. So hopefully we see more of this stuff in the future. And coming up next, we're going to have your preview review right after this. Hello and welcome to your preview. Jakey Brother still here. Erica Sidora still there. And Erica, you had a really exciting weekend. So talk to us about League of Legends.
It was amazing, Jacob. The casters were amazing. The players were amazing. The audience and the energy levels you felt inside the stadium were undescribable. And the more I think about it, the more I just miss it so much. But this just proves the path to LCS. It works. It worked so hard that she just fell off right now, but I really want to highlight JoJo and Danny, because we had a few amazing experiences watching them on stage and seeing how they grew from the collegiate scene, the academy scene, the amateur scene. And as we're talking about the amateur scene, I do want to talk about CLOL, because now we are in the round of 16. Last week we had the round of 32, and as we know, the bracket was split between two sides. It had a little bit of friendly competition and a little bit of tension between these teams, but that's because CLOL just keeps getting better, and soon enough you're going to be seeing these players in the LCS. I want to congratulate and preview these matchups that are happening next week. So there's going to be Western versus Grandview, St. Thomas versus Michigan, Michigan State versus Harrisburg, Winthrop versus Colorado, Bay State versus St. Louis, Maryville versus Buffalo, UC Irvine versus Illinois State, and Arizona versus Converse. There are only five teams at 2-0 during their round of 32, and I want you to keep an eye out on for St. Thomas, Winthrop, Michigan, Western, and Grandview. These games will take place April 30th and May 1st. They will be featured on the Academy and Unified Live channels, and for specific times, check out the RSAA on Twitter, or you can check out us on Twitter. The exciting news that I wanted to share are the top 8 teams in CLR are actually going to be flown out to LA in the LCS studio to play, and this hasn't happened since 2019, so I'm excited to see it. I'm excited to see these players finally play live and live their dreams.
Awesome. Thanks, Erica. For the rest of esports, here's our interns.
Hello, everyone. As always, my name is Mel, and let's jump right in to the Collegiate Overwatch news. So this weekend, April 30th, we have the Boston Uprising Collegiate Cup semifinals and grand finals taking place at Helix Arena Patriot Place, and matches streamed on the Boston Uprising Twitch channel. The semifinals will take place between Bay State and the UMass Minutemen, and between Northeastern and UTD Esports, and following that will be the best of 5 grand finals. Also coming up is the NACE grand finals taking place on May 1st. The grand finals will take place between Redbirds Esports and HU Storm. Redbirds has previously won against HU Storm 3-1 in winners bracket finals. The odds are in Redbirds' favor, but HU Storm is a very powerful team that can't be counted out that easily. And lastly, we have the Last Ride Invitational that was organized by Overwatch community member Chase. This Invitational took place April 23rd and the 24th, and had competitors from a mix of contenders and collegiate teams. The collegiate teams included Redbirds, Bay State, and UCI Esports. Redbirds took home 3rd place overall after falling to contenders teams Wisp and Solaris. Contenders team Solaris took home 1st place with a 3-0 over Wisp. So, make sure you're following both Boston Uprising and NACE on Twitch so you can watch all of the grand finals action taking place.
Hey everyone, welcome back to your weekly preview review of Valorant. Like usual, I am Jack Bridges, and today we have a little bit of a special episode because we're going to be covering the Masters Reykjavik that just finished up, and that's the first major Valorant international tournament that's happened this year. So we're going to be covering up some of the final games. So the upper bracket final featured Optic Gaming versus Loud. Loud was expected to win this. They are a top seeded team coming into this. They didn't even have to go through group play, while Optic Gaming had to climb their way out of group play all the way to this upper bracket final game. So Loud ended up defeating Optic 2-1 in the upper bracket final, which was somewhat expected. The lower bracket semifinal featured Zeta Division versus Paper Rex. Zeta Division ended up defeating Paper Rex 2-1 to move on to the lower bracket final. And in the lower bracket final, that decides who gets to take the second place of the grand final against Loud Gaming for the grand final championship. And Optic Gaming versus Zeta Division were featured in this lower bracket final. Optic Gaming, looking for revenge, ended up taking all 3 matches against Zeta Division and moving on to the grand final to get the rematch against Loud. The grand final featured Loud from representing Brazil and Optic Gaming representing North America. And Optic Gaming ended up taking 3 nail-biting victories back-to-back against Loud to take the win of Masters Reykjavik. So Optic Gaming ended up taking first place with, they get $200,000. Second place was Loud from Brazil, and they got $120,000. And third place was Zeta Division from Japan, and they got $85,000. So shout out to Optic Gaming for being able to represent North America. I haven't been covering esports for too long, but I know North America isn't always the best when it comes to competitive esports. So it's cool to see Optic Gaming get their hardware early in Valorant's career, because Valorant's only been out for about 2 years now. So having a major international victory is good for Optic Gaming and their future. So shout out to them, and shout out to all the teams that made it. Make sure to tune in next week for more Valorant coverage, and I'll see you guys there. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. My name is Jose, and this is your weekly CSGO rundown. Let's get to it. Starting off with the NACE Star League loser bracket and the match between UCF Knights and Kennesaw State Gold. The Knights dominated Kennesaw State Gold 2-0. They are now 3-1 against the top 4 seeds of the tournament. The only loss being given to them by RIT Orange, who they beat in spectacular fashion to advance to the Grand Finals. The only remaining team of the top 4 seeds whom they have not faced is their next opponent, Drexel, who they will face in the Grand Finals on Saturday at 4 p.m. EDT. It's going to be an interesting Grand Finals, to say the least. The Knights are on a roll and will carry that momentum going on to the match. Drexel, being of the upper bracket, gets to choose the first map. Now, the map that they choose will essentially determine the outcome of the game, because if they can cut UCF short, it will be a free-for-all. The way that UCF has been performing, it can honestly go either way. This has been all for your weekly rundown. My name is Jose, and I'll see you next time.
Thanks, guys. Coming up next, we're going to be talking about Jet with Jack right after this. Welcome back for the last time this week. Jacob Brother still here. Erica Sidora still there. But we are joined by our best friend, Jack Bridges. Jack, thank you so much for coming on.
You know, I'm always excited to be here.
Yeah, you are. And so are we. And we are here to talk about some good old Valorant. And it's about one of the most interesting characters in the game, Jet. She's had some really big changes. So, Jack, what do we need to know about these changes?
So, yeah, it's finally time. Jet gets the big nerf. Riot stated that some of her impacts on the game have pushed beyond Valorant's core tactical cycle in worrisome ways. Then they used that verbiage a lot throughout their article when explaining the reasoning for this Jet nerf. But the dash is OP. It is what it is. So let's just get right into the nerf. For her Tailwind, which is her dash, when the ability key is pressed, there is a short window, and then there is a 12-second window where Jet is able to immediately dash upon the press of another key. So I don't use Jet, but I'm pretty sure the key is E, so all you got to do is hit E, and then it opens up the window to where you can dash like normal as Jet. And the Tailwind charge is lost whether she dashes or the window expires, and she can still recharge it with 2 kills later on in the round. Riot stated that they developed several prototypes when looking for Jet's new dash, but they found this one to be the most viable for Valorant's core tactical cycle. Like I said earlier, not much information regarding that, but Riot stated the main issues they found with Jet's dash when they were describing why they made this choice. And so 3 of those main issues were the first one being her reactive dash allowed her to negate her own strategic mistakes. The second one was that Jet's ability to dash in on attack or have unrestricted access to an escape gave her little downside as an agent. And the third reason was that they stated that they wanted to retain the aggressive power of the dash but reduce the defensive power. So basically just force Jet to make better decisions. And they ended the article by saying they wanted to provide viable counterplay and for Jet players to be more thoughtful for when using their abilities. They basically wanted to just take away the defensive type dash to where she could go in, do something stupid, and get bailed out with her dash. So it is a huge change, but it was a necessary one.
Okay, so long story short, she can activate her dash button, but then she can't dash for a second and then can dash within a certain window.
So I'm not exactly sure whether it's an area-based window yet. I haven't got around to checking it out myself, but I do know it is a 12-second window, so you have to hit E, and then it gives you the ability to dash like normal.
Interesting. Okay, I'll ask you first, Jack. What does your gut say when you hear this change? Is this, like, make the game better in every way?
I mean, it just brings Jet down a little bit, which as a professional hater and a full-time Raze main, I love to see this downfall on Jet because she has been the face of Valorant for way too long. I mean, if you've seen anything from Valorant because I've been playing since beta, and Jet has been the meta dash mm-hmm. since beta. So it's just like, and all the other agents have gotten the boot or gotten some buffs and nerfs here and there. So it's just good to see Jet finally get that dash. And it just seemed like it took a while because Riot couldn't figure it out. But yeah, no, this is definitely something that was necessary. Now Jet can't just dash or run in on site and dash out without any consequence and get a pick. And then it's 4v5 and just throws the whole game off balance. So it is a necessary nerf, in my opinion.
Yeah, better late than never. Okay, Erica, yeah, right. what about you? Do you have any different thoughts? I mean, are you overjoyed about this as well?
I am quite overjoyed about it because that stops people from insta-locking Jet every single ranked game. I'm hoping for a Reyna nerf now, but as an Omen main, I mean, like, it doesn't make a difference to me. I'm a smoker out anyways, but it just means that Jet players have to think more, and Jet players do need to think more, so.
Okay, Erica, you actually read my mind because my following up question was, what other character is complained about as much or desperately needs a change like this? And so you think Reyna? What does Reyna need such a change?
everything. I hope her whole kit gets reworked and that she's super nerfed. And that Raze is actually... Jack's instant nodding. I hope she gets buffed because she's so fun to play. Boo Reyna. Boo Reyna, right?
Yeah, I agree. Boo Reyna and Jett and yay Raze. Raze needs more love.
Phoenix too.
Phoenix as well, yes.
Yeah, I am aware of Phoenix, and it seems like there's every character that's added is just better than him. Where it's like, we're going to take one of his abilities.
And just use Sky. Just use Sky at this point.
Like... Yeah. Just have fire on two sides and so forth. Yeah. But okay. Sweet. Yeah. So that's Jett. So hopefully the changes you guys want to come to that super fun and interactive game are eventually made. But that is our show. So we thank you so much for watching this week. For more, check out our stuff at checkpointxp.com. And remember that we will always and forever love you. And make sure you check us out at the Battle for Texas and May Madness. We'll see you next time.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.